Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey guys, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Got a great interview for you today with my buddy Luke Madeus. Who's Luke Madeus? Well, he's a real estate wholesaler, young kid, man, still in his 20s, absolutely crushing it, making a lot of money without any money. And I know that sounds crazy. I never talk about this stuff, you know, how to make money with no money. It's possible. Not only is it possible, Luke came on board my VIP private coaching program just about a month ago, and we are having a blast. I mean, he's coaching me on doing my first wholesale real estate deal while I'm helping him build his brand. And he's going to be doing over $1 million this year just in this one special technique. So listen, don't listen. Even if you have no interest in ever wholesaling real estate, that's not the point. The point is, listen to the passion. Listen to the amazing attitude. Luke came here from Haiti. Absolutely no money whatsoever, no connections, no knowledge. I mean, he was in nursing school and then he got an audio engineer degree, neither of which he's using now to crush it in real estate. Just listen to the attitude, listen to the passion, plug it into whatever it is you want to do in this world, and you will be on your way to make it every day Saturday. Here's the interview. Enjoy me and my man, Luke Madeus. Here you go. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. Sam Crowley here. This is going to be a really cool show. I'm going to bring out my buddy Luke Madeus. Luke, what's up, man?
What's going on, Sam? How are you doing?
Everybody's like, what is up, Luke? What do we got going? Who's Luke and why is he on the Everyday Saturday podcast? Well, Luke, let me just give the real story here. Luke came on board as a VIP coaching client about a month or so ago, stepped out in faith and brought your boy on. To monetize this is pretty crazy. Luke is a wholesaler, man. So we're going to build out his entire wholesaling brand. But what we're also going to do concurrently, I said, hey, Luke, let me be the guinea pig for this coaching program. I don't know anything about wholesaling real estate. We going to wholesale real estate. That's his jingle on a podcast. Dude's got one of the best jingles you're ever going to hear when you hear it when the podcast goes live. The School of Wholesaling, the podcast isn't even on iTunes yet, which is a whole other story. We're having all these crazy things with iTunes. But so Luke is coaching me on wholesaling real estate. So Luke, first of all, give us a background about what you do, kind of a little bit about where you grew up, and like who is Luke Madeus, because nobody's got any clue listening right now. Guys, this is going to be a great show. And it's going to be a series of shows where we kind of give you an update what's going on with Luke coaching me through wholesaling. But Luke, tell us about yourself, man.
Well, thank you for that wonderful introduction, Sam.
You got it, man.
So I'm a real estate wholesaler. So pretty much the basis of the strategy is that I find properties for a cheap price and then turn and resell the property to investor buyers or cash buyers for a higher price and making a little bit of money in between. And, you know, I've been doing this, Sam, for about 3 years. But before this, I was a college student. I just had graduated college. I had, you know, debt up to my neck. And
hold on a second. College has a major called real estate wholesaling?
No. I actually went to college for audio engineering. I went to Full Sail University. Okay. And that was actually my second time in college. Before that, I went to Indian River State College to become an LPN, which, by the way, Sam, it did not fit me at all. I ended up dropping out.
LPN, audio engineer, real estate wholesaling, none of those connect at all. I don't even know. Like, how do you get any of those together?
Yeah, so before I actually, you know, got into real estate, I didn't have no money. You know, I was dead broke. And just a little further background, you know, kind of getting way back, taking it way back. We're going to take it way back.
Go way back, brother. Go as far back as you want to go.
Yeah. So like when I was, so I was born in Haiti. So I'm Haitian, right? I was born in Haiti. I was born in St. Mark, Haiti. And I remember, very vividly, like the country I'm from, there is not a whole lot of opportunity there. Right. And I was one of the fortunate few children who was able to get here to America. And, you know, by God's grace and my dad's will, I now have an opportunity being in America. And so, you know, coming from Haiti, just knowing what it's like living there and knowing the possibility that could have been my life, you know, no opportunity, you know, finding out about real estate and, you know, well, first of all, before real estate, I've always been a go-getter. I've always wanted to be the person that kind of like took that baton from my father and took it 10,000 miles further than where he took it to, you know? I was raised up in a house, about maybe 11 people total inside that house. It was a 3-bedroom home, okay? My dad ended up building another bedroom, making a 4-bedroom home from the patio. You see what I'm saying? So he kind of put an addition because there just wasn't enough rooms inside the house for everybody. Everybody was kind of bunched into a room. And so, like, I really remember that. Like, I remember, like, my mother would always cook, like, these very big pots of food for everybody. And I remember, like, you know, you better get to that table quickly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got to make sure that you eat. You know what I'm saying? And usually there wasn't any leftovers because, you know, everybody would eat. I just remember that, man. I also remember my parents not having a whole lot. So, like, you know, like most kids in my neighborhood who, you know, their parents probably was able to get them a new Xbox or the PlayStation. Like my dad wasn't able to do that for us. As a matter of fact, the one time – I remember this very vividly, Sam. Let me tell you a quick story. I remember the first time I got a PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
My dad was a garbage truck driver, right? So he'd always like find stuff in the garbage all the time. Yeah. Like, he things that people would throw away. And I remember one time he brought home like 2 PlayStations, right? Neither one of them worked. but it was, you know, he knew that we wanted it, and hey, you know, the chances of it working, hey, it might have been something that worked out. But you know, the point that I'm getting to is that we really had to, growing up, we really had to work for things we wanted. You know, we all had jobs. I'm one of about 6 boys, and my dad has 2 girls, right? Yeah. And so we've always had to work for things we wanted. So our first car, we had to work to buy that first car, you know? And so we didn't have that silver spoon. And to know that we do have an opportunity versus not having an opportunity, it made me want more, Sam. It made me want to achieve so many great goals that I could turn back and be like, listen, thank you. Thank you for doing this. You know, now you can take a break. You know, now you don't have to worry about anything. And that was kind of like my why. And going through college and not really knowing, you know, what I wanted to do, of course, you know, like most young. Yeah,
like every college student. Hey, let me ask you a question, kind of tease the audience a little bit before you tell us about the college experience. We'll get back to that in a second. I know work. How much did you earn on your last wholesale deal that you just finished?
Oh, my last wholesale deal, I earned about $37,000.
One deal?
Yes, sir.
How many real hours went into that deal? I'm not talking about just driving around and how many hours of work went into that deal?
About 10 hours of work.
10 hours of work for $37,000. Okay, we'll tease it a little bit. Back to your college story. Go ahead.
So going through college, again, I dropped out of my first college and then, you know, went through Full Sail, almost dropped out of Full Sail, and then ended up getting through that, got a bachelor's degree now. And it was like, what now? I got a bachelor's degree, but what now? Yep. And Full Sail actually brought me to actually bump into my mentor. At the time, I was doing a lot of videography to try to, you know, make a little bit of money on the side and things like that. I didn't make a whole lot of money, but, you know, hey, try to hustle, you know what I'm saying? And so I ended up bumping into my real estate coach, who was my friend at the time as well, and still my friend, but he ended up, you know, showing me the way. You know, he took out the time with me, and he seen something in me, seen that I had a drive, and seen I was a go-getter, and he gave me the chance, you know, and taught me. And on my first deal, Sam, I'll never forget it. This took me about 90 days to do. 90 days to do this deal, Sam.
And 90 days, oh my God, it sounds like forever.
And you know what? It felt like forever at the time too.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I mean, I was broke. I was like, I remember like I was going into my bank account, like purposely throwing myself an overdraft just to be able to have a little bit of money to eat on some days and you know, just do what I need to do. And so it felt like forever for me. But like after 90 days, I was holding a check for $32,000, Sam.
That's a scam. That's just that get rich scam that, you know, you hear about on the internet. I've heard of you guys, man.
it's real. It is so real. It is so real. And you know, when I held that check, when I did my first deal and I held that check, I realized how exactly real it was.
Yeah.
And ever since then, it's been just rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
And, okay, dude. I'm about to jump out of my seat. Okay. Both of us are talkers. This is going to be a lot of fun because I'm going to talk right over you half the time. Because now you got me so jacked up. I need a seatbelt right now. All right. Let's calibrate everybody here. Right? What is real estate wholesaling at its basic concept? What is it?
Real estate wholesaling is contracting a property from a homeowner who wishes to sell their property and contracting that property for a discounted price. Then contracting a buyer and assigning that contract to a buyer for a higher price and making a difference in between.
Love it. So we started working together and you flipped the switches on me. I said, hey man, I would love to, before you launch your coaching program, show me how to do it. Cause I've never done it before. I've been an investor. I've owned properties, but that was just cash flow, typical landlord stuff. I've never wholesaled a property. So a couple weeks ago, Luke started, you know, sat me down. We do a Zoom calls together and he talked to me like I was a 5-year-old about this whole wholesaling deal, you know, because I didn't know anything about it. So you were showing me, giving me the concept of it. And then, we'll get into this down the road about, because this is going to be kind of a reality show. I haven't done my first deal. However, we got one hot, man. I found a property. I used Luke's system, which is a really genius system, by the way, guys. So I used Luke's system and I found multiple people who want to sell their property at a discount. And I got one house and the guy literally said, he'll sell it to me for $15,000. All right. Is this so far? Am I right, Luke?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So I used Luke's system. And I also, while I was doing that, found buyers who want to come to the table. If I have any deals at all, they want to know about them first. Like I was sharing these text messages with Luke. These people, they don't want to be on a general email list. They want me to text them. So I probably got 7 or 8 buyers who want to give me cash to buy the house now that the seller wants to sell. It's working out exactly how. And dude, we're only 2 weeks into this. This is crazy.
14 days. And Sam, you know, like you could probably really call that seller right now and contract that property like today. Like
I could.
That seller's motivated.
He is motivated. So you've been doing this a while. How many years? 2 or 3 years? You said you've been wholesaling real estate.
About 3 years now. Yeah.
And it took you about 90 days to get your first deal. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
And you made $32,000 on that very first wholesaling deal.
Yes.
Now, wholesaling, you don't have to have any money to do that, right? You don't have to close or buy the property or anything like that. Tell us about the process a little bit more now.
All right. That's my favorite question, okay? Because you really don't need any money and you really don't need any credit to do this process. As a matter of fact, the next question that usually comes after, you know, that answer is, well, how do you go through the deal? How do you close a deal if you're not using any money or credit? Well, because this is a wholesale deal and you contract the property with the seller, when you are contracting with the buyer, you're doing what's called assigning the contract to the buyer. So the buyer is coming in as a partner in the deal and is taking your place as buyer, and they pay you an assignment fee to do that. And the assignment fee is pretty much the difference between the price you have with the seller and the buyer. And so the buyer is the one who comes with the money to the closing table, closes out the deal, and then the title office or the title attorney will cut you your assignment fee, and that's how you get paid.
So you're getting you go out, and so I'll tell you what to do. Let's do this. This last deal you just made $37,000 on for about 10 hours worth of work. Take us through the process. How did you find the individual who wanted to sell their house at a discount to you?
Okay. So this seller here, she's a sweet 93-year-old woman. I mean, just sweet woman. I ended up getting in touch with her I sent her a letter. Her house was vacant. The house needed lots and lots of work. It was in terrible shape.
Oh, what city, by the way? Where do you live?
Orlando, Florida.
Oh, my God. That's too saturated, Luke. Everybody's doing real estate in Orlando. I can't get involved there.
Oh, that's not true. There are so many properties here. And here's the thing, Sam. Although there is a lot of folks doing this, like a lot of them don't, they're not continuously educating themselves enough to really be, you know, making a strong mark in the market, you know? So if you know what you're doing and you get educated, you can really do very well in this business. And you can do that anywhere, you know? And being in Orlando, you know, home of Mickey Mouse, where magical things happen, right?
Yeah.
There are so many properties here. There's an abundance of this everywhere. And you know, if you have an abundance mindset, I mean, that's really like the first thing you really need is to know that it's everywhere, because it really is. I mean, this woman here, she told me, Sam, she told me, I get all these letters all the time from, you know, no, as a matter of fact, the first thing she said when I got on the phone with her, Sam, was, yeah, I know who you are. I know what you guys do. I get your letters all the time. You want to get my property for next to nothing, and I'm not having it, right?
Right.
So she goes off like that, man. And we're like best friends now, by the way. She was telling me and my fiance like what hospitals we should go to here in Orlando for our baby. And so like we have a very close relationship, but pretty much like how that sparked was you know, we had rapport, you know, I became her friend, you know, and she was willing, once that happened, she was willing to actually do business with me, you know? And so she lives in, she had lived in Palm Beach. Okay. And so she's not here in the area. She wasn't able to show me the house herself. So what she ended up doing was she ended up having me go to her attorney who had the keys to the house and get the keys and then take a look at the property and give her an offer. So that's exactly what I did. I went to the attorney's office, got the keys, looked at the house, gave her an offer of at the time it was 90 grand.
How long had the house been vacant?
The house was vacant for like, man, how long was it? It was, had to have been at least 10 years.
Wow. Just sitting there for 10 years? Why?
Because what ended up happening was her husband was the person who like took care of the property, made sure things make sure things were fixed and things like that. In a hurricane, the last very bad hurricane years and years ago that passed through Florida, it destroyed the roof. So they ended up getting the roof changed, right? But everything inside, the drywall and the ceiling, everything was still damaged, and they never fixed it.
Wow.
And they plan on fixing it, but unfortunately, she lost her husband.
Okay.
And she ended up going into a senior living home, and the property just sat there and just
why not just sell it? Why didn't she just list it with a realtor and blow it out?
Sam, that's a very good question. To my understanding, she was just holding the property and she didn't, she's 93 years old, man. So for her to get her, I mean, just for us to do that deal, for her to get around just to be able to move and do things with her health, it was very hard on her to do that. So the fact that I even came in and was able to do a lot of that stuff for her, right?
Yeah,
that really helped her be able to actually go through the process. Because one of her major complaints was, I don't have the strength to get up and go meet with the realtor. I don't have the strength to get up and go sign documents or go show the property. So I was able to do a lot of that stuff for her, you know, and that really helped her get through the process. And as well, she also just liked me, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're a likable guy. Everybody likes Luke. Luke Bidet. Hey, by the way, station identification, if you just plug it in, like, who is Sam talking to? I'm talking to my buddy Luke Medeiros. He's also a coaching client of mine, and now I've turned into a client of his. Isn't that amazing? He's coaching me, and we're going to do kind of like a diary and keep track of, because I believe in a system, because I believe anybody that's got a system and a method, you plug your passion into it, and everything is figure outable. So Luke is working with me. I've got almost, and we'll see. I don't want to jinx it, but maybe my first deal under contract coming up this weekend. I still got to look at this house that I found. But anyway, back to you, Luke, and this deal that you made 37 grand on. So you contacted the lady. She got your letter, which you teach in your system about how to contact owners of properties that are vacant, number one. You could contact an owner of a property anywhere, but one of the things that Luke teaches, and he taught me how to do this, is to find equity, houses that have equity, a certain amount, a lot of equity, absentee owners who are motivated to sell, contact them. So Luke did exactly that. He's on the phone. He goes and looks at the house. So you go and look at the house. You figure out that it needs a lot of work. Give us what you made the offer on for the home, and give us what the ARV, what's called after repair value. What did you determine that if this house gets fixed up, it's going to be worth this much in its new condition? What was it worth, and what's the offer you made?
All right. So the property was located in a golf club community, gated community, beautiful community, Sam, beautiful community.
Oh, okay.
Properties in that square footage, it was a 2-2, about 1,100 square feet. Properties in that square footage were selling easy for 190 all day.
Two bedroom, two bath could retail at 190. Okay.
And properties that were updated in that size were selling for about 210, 215, right? So the ARV was between 190 to 215.
Okay? After repair value between 190 to 215.
I ended up contracting that property, Sam, for $90,000.
$90,000.
It had over $100,000 worth of equity. And the property, from my estimate, the property only needed about $40,000 worth of work.
Okay. So you got it for 90. You figured it needed about 40 grand worth of work. You got 130 into it. If you were just going to buy it yourself, you'd be 130 in, and you could flip it for how much? 200 grand, 210, 225?
215.
Okay, 215. Okay, so you got it. You go to your sweet friend now and you say, ma'am, I'd like to buy this from you for $90,000. And she says?
She said yes.
She said yes. Okay, well, that was easy. So now you've got a contract. And we'll get into all the nitty-gritty. This isn't the only time we're having Luke on the podcast, because I'm going to share with you what I'm doing with property when I get it under contract as well. I just think it's great that people can go make an extra 10, 20, 30, 50 grand a month and not have to have money. I just think, so because it's so counterintuitive, you know, we grow up, we got to go get a job and hours for dollars and how much do you make an hour and blah, 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 blah. I only asked you how many hours you had into it because it was just so stupid that you only spent 10 hours and made almost 40 grand. What the median income is for a person in the US you made in 10 hours, you know, in a year, most people make in a year. So you got under contract. Now you've got a list of individuals who are real estate investors. So what's going on the other end of this deal that you're contacting people?
Okay. So now that the property was contracted, now that I held a contract on that property, it was time to look for a buyer, right? So the first thing I did was I sent out an email to my buyers list, right? And I got some traction, but I didn't get anybody who was offering what I wanted to get. By the way, I put up the property for 135. So I wanted to sell the property for 135, right?
Okay.
So I didn't get anybody who was offering me what I wanted, and I know that the property could have sold for 145. I could have closed on that property, listed it on the market, and sold it for $160,000 just the way it was. So, you know, 135 is a good deal. So
if this lady knows she could get 160 for it, why is she selling it to you for 90?
Because she was selling cash. She wanted to sell cash. She wanted to sell fast. She didn't want to have to worry about dealing with the realtor, having it on the market. By the way, the property had code violations as well, which meant that there was a likely chance that a bank appraisal would have not passed on that property.
Oh, so you mean people are interested in cash buyers for their property and they want to close quickly. Interesting. Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So that was her interest. You know, she wanted to close fast. She didn't want to have to deal with a realtor sitting on the market. And again, you know, she didn't have the energy to be able to, you know, to have to get up and do things. It was such a simple process for her. That's what she really, really liked about it the most. And she wanted to be able to, she was 93. So she wasn't worried about getting top dollar either. I mean, you know, she just wanted to get something she was okay with and then move on.
Yeah.
So 90 grand is what we ended up agreeing, and it was time to look for a buyer. So I ended up finding my buyer through Craigslist. So you remember that Craigslist, the Craigslist post I showed you how to do?
Yeah.
So I put the property on Craigslist, right? And I waited, and about like 2 days later, the buyer who bought the property, his name is John, really cool guy, right? Really good friend of mine now too. he ended up coming by, looking at the property. He did an appraisal on the property, passed appraisal, and he ended up buying the property for $127,500.
He paid you.
Yep.
For the property.
$127,500, which left in between $37,500
How does that work at closing? Who goes to the closing? You or John?
I don't have to go to the closing. when you're a wholesaler, you don't have to be there. It's only the seller has to go to closing and the buyer has to go to closing. Because you assigned your contract over, the buyer has all of the rights that you have, so you don't need to sign anything else. But you could attend closing. I recommend attending closing. I attended that closing because I like to build more rapport with my clients. But it's not nothing that's necessary for you.
So you have you have a clause in your contract when you show it to the seller, this 93-year-old lady, she signs it, you sign it, but there's a clause in there that says you're able to assign now this $90,000 contract to somebody else.
Yes.
And so you then have a separate contract with that somebody else, your investor, that says you get this contract for 90 grand, you're going to go to closing and you're going to pay me 37 grand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
So what happens at closing? Is there a big check for 127 and it gets divvied up, or is there one for you and one for him, or how does that work?
What the title office will do at closing is they put all the contracts together, right? So they'll put the first side contract with this particular deal, I want to clarify something here.
Yes.
With this particular deal, we did what was called a simultaneous close. Okay. Yes. And the reason why we did that is because with wholesale deals, when you have deals that are that large, a lot of times, you know, your buyer could look at the number and, you know, kind of get finicky about it because you're making so much money in between.
Yeah.
And he wasn't that kind of guy. But since it was the first time that we did business together, it was more of a protecting the deal. You know what I'm saying? So when you do a simultaneous closing, essentially, you're not using an assignment contract. So that assignment contract that I was telling you about before that we were talking about, that contract requires you not to have to sign anything because the buyer is then taking over what you already have, which is that sale contract.
Okay.
You do a simultaneous close. It's like you're buying the property yourself and then you're selling it again. So title gets done twice, liens get done twice, everything gets done twice because two actual sales are happening, while with an assignment agreement only one sale is happening.
Now, with the simultaneous close, do you have to show up with 90 grand? Do you got to show that you got 90 grand?
No, you can, the buyer can still elect, you can still elect to have to use the buyer's funds as long as the buyer is okay with that. So okay. The first thing you want to do is you want to let your buyer know, hey, listen, you know, this is a simultaneous close. We have to do it this way. If it's okay with you, I'd like to use your funds.
Okay.
You know? And if it wasn't okay with him, Sam, and we did want to, you know, I didn't want to have to put the funds up to close the property. We could have just transferred it over to an assignment, but that would have meant that we would have been okay with, you know, putting everything on the table. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you got to find somebody cool, just like business. I mean, look, business is business is business. When I find clients, I only want to work with cool people. I don't want to work with people that are super uptight, worried about the money. Oh my God, what am I going to? No. When you're in real estate, in anything, man, you want to have rapport with people and just be cool. Hey, I'm going to make 37 grand on this deal. If that bothers you, we can't do business together.
Yeah, and you know what, Sam? If it does bother that buyer, he's not a good buyer.
No.
That buyer still made 22 grand off that property and did it in less than 60 days.
Okay, yeah. So take me through.
Go ahead. The house went on the market and literally sold under 7 days and he made 22 grand. It was a great deal. Fantastic deal.
Did he make all the repairs needed or did he go and sell it to somebody else?
He made the repairs. So when he bought it, he's the one who fixed everything up and then resold it with a realtor on the market. And I think he put only like 25 grand into that property. And that property looks beautiful, Mac. You know, I got to remind me to, I think I showed you some pictures.
Oh yeah, you did. You showed me the photos before. It's crazy, dude. The way, so what did that property end up selling for?
It ended up selling for $219,000,
and you got it originally back from the lady at 90 grand. And then see, here's the deal. Everybody made money. And you know what? Some people might be thinking, isn't that taking advantage of? No, she's 93. She lives in a retirement community. She doesn't want to be bothered owning a property hundreds of miles away. that's already been sitting there. And the neighbors appreciate the fact now, because the value of their home goes up when you got a nice house. It's being lived in. You don't drive by and see an overgrown lawn or the roof fallen in or boarded up windows. The neighborhood wins. The elderly lady wins because now she's got this headache off, and she probably, truth be told, Luke, I don't know the lady at all, but I'm guessing she doesn't need 90 grand even. I'm sure if she never got the 90 grand, she'd be fine, but she gets it, you know. Yeah. As somebody living in Palm Beach doesn't need 90 grand, I guess is my point, okay. And the seller who, or the person who bought it from you, they win. That's entrepreneurship. Yeah. Everybody makes money. There's value added in every part of this transaction. The person who ended up buying the home that's living there loves it, loves the community. Yeah. So everybody wins, dude.
And one thing to keep in mind as well, for folks who may believe that this may be taking advantage of someone, you're creating win-wins here. That's the ultimate goal. And I let everybody that I do business with know the goal is to create a win-win. We're providing a service, you know. The seller wants to sell cash. They want to sell fast, but they're going to sell for a price they're okay with. And if it's a price that works for everyone, then everybody's winning, you know? And I believe a lot of new folks getting into this, they get choked up at this part, especially with the assignment fee. One of the questions that I get from folks I speak to about this is, how do I know how much I can charge on an assignment fee? And they get choked up with that number. And really, it's whatever you want it to be, as long as it works for everyone in the deal.
That's awesome.
Ultimately, you're helping people. That's what you're doing.
No, that's great. And you're helping somebody get out of a house they don't want to be in. This gentleman that I'm talking to that wants out of his house, he doesn't want to own rental property in this particular neighborhood. His wife doesn't want him to own it. He's very motivated to get out of it. So when Luke's podcast goes live, hopefully in the next week or so, we're recording this the end of March 2019, Luke's, we're going to be going through a real live kind of this diary. We'll probably do it on Luke's podcast. The more I think about it, it makes sense to do it that way. But I'm also going to bring Luke back on to give an update. What's going on with this deal that we're doing on this end? He's coaching me through it. And also from a psychological perspective, that Luke, give us an idea as we're wrapping up this interview real quick here. What do you anticipate revenue-wise in your wholesaling business this year, 2019?
This year, 2019, we should be clearing $1.2 million in our business.
Hey, Luke, there was a little bit of a hiccup here. Did you say $1.2 million?
Yes, $1.2 million.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just crazy. You've been doing this 3 years?
3 years.
Wow, man. And you had no knowledge on how to do it 3 years ago?
None whatsoever.
What'd you make your first 12 months without starting? That first deal took 90 days. After that, what was your next 12 months in revenue? Any idea? I mean,
My next 12 months, I made upwards to about 70, 80 grand.
Okay.
And then the year after that, I made over 130.
Okay. And you didn't have to have any of your own money to do any of this?
Not at all. And by the way, Sam, I kind of took a couple of months off.
Yeah. Why not? You're a young guy. How old are you?
I'm 26.
26. You should take a couple months off.
So this year, you know, we're really gonna break the ceiling this year. We're gonna do very well. We're actually in the midst of hiring a couple of acquisitions managers and just growing the team.
Not bad for an ex nurse audio engineer major. I mean, $1.2 million. And look, Luke and we became quick friends, and you're gonna become quick friends with him too. When we're gonna launch his course as well. It is gonna be an absolute killer course because he's got everything documented. All the documents you need, the system, the method to get it done. We're going to unleash this beast soon. You guys, if you're interested in doing this, it is an unbelievable way to bring in either side hustle income or full-time income, either way. I can tell you, I'm 2 weeks into it and I already got my first deal that I could do, or maybe it won't do, it fall through, but it's not because there's a shortage of deals out there, you know, put it that way. Anyway, Luke, let's wrap it up. When your show goes live, we're gonna promote that as well, because I think your podcast is going to be amazing. We're going to give people an opportunity to connect with you. Hey, just to see, I mean, if anybody wants to connect with you, what's your Instagram handle?
My Instagram is at Luke Madeus, LucMadeus.
As in Amadeus, but it's Luke Madeus.
As in Amadeus.
Amadeus. Luke Madeus. Luke Madeus. Luke Madeus. Luke Madeus.
Love it, man.
So it's just like it sounds, at Luke, L-U-C, Madeus, M-A-D-E-U-S. Yeah, check Luke out. Hit him up on Instagram. Follow him. He does a lot of great videos and posts some good content out there all around his lifestyle as well as real estate. And send him a DM, man, to let him know you heard him on the Everyday Saturday podcast and you want more information on wholesale and real estate. He's the guy. I'm telling you, he's the guy to get to. All right, Luke, let's wrap it up. We got a lot of work to do. We got to get this property closed on my end. So I don't want a podcast. I want to get out there and make this deal happen. This deal, just for you guys following along, we'll see. I got to go look at it. But if I make the offer, I'm going to make the offer between 12 and 15 grand. We figured out we could probably sell it at 50 if I wanted to just buy it. I mean, look, I would just put it on a credit card at this point and buy it. But I'm going to follow the system. I got a buyer who can buy it on the other end. What do you think we should sell this thing for to an investor if it could? Retail ARV is 50 grand. I can get it for 15. It's already in pretty good shape. What do you think we should sell it to a buyer for?
I think we should market it for 35.
To an investor. Okay.
Investor buyer, to a cash buyer.
Cash buyer. I might put 5 to 6 grand into it myself. So I might be 21, 22 grand into it, sell it for 35. I don't ever close on it. I don't own it. I don't do anything, but I get paid 13 grand.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds pretty good. Not bad for so far about 30 minutes worth of work.
And that 35 grand, Sam, that's with you putting no money into it.
Oh, no money into it. Oh.
Not a dime.
Oh, so I'll make 20 grand for 30 minutes worth of work. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think I can start living this life, man. This wholesale life. So hey, Luke, it's been great having you on the show, brother. We're going to have you back. I'm going to be on your show. Luke's actually my coaching client. So actually, we're actually building his entire funnel. We're building his brand. Hey, give a plug for the Everyday Saturday coaching program, man. What's it been like the last month so far?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. And look, I am lost for words because every single time we get on the phone and every single time we do a call, it's always a blast, man. We have fun.
Oh, it's great. And so many great ideas. I mean, about how we're going to monetize your intellectual property, man. So many great ideas.
This is a mastermind. Mastermind of, you know, it's amazing. It really is. It really is. It's a great experience.
Yeah, dude. We're going to have a great time. We email a lot. All of my private coaching clients have the app Voxer. They can Voxer me anytime. We go back and forth on Voxer all the time. Look, Luke's just a cool guy to work with. Here's what you do. You find people like Luke. And you go find more of them because that's how you do. That's the Everyday Saturday lifestyle. You only do business with people like Luke was talking about buyers. He's got a whole buyer list, but you only do business with people that you want to do business with because life isn't perfect. Stuff gets messy. We're still messing with iTunes to try to get your podcast. This is the most ridiculous thing, by the way, I've ever seen. We literally checked every box perfectly, submitted it. They've declined it 3 or 4 or 5 times, but Luke gets it. It's a process. We'll get the show on iTunes. Anyway. That's a whole other story, but it's been great working with you the first month. We still got 5 more months, man. You know, working together.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Luke Madeus, everybody. Check him out on Instagram, at Luke Madeus. And Luke, we'll talk to you soon, pal.
All right. Sounds great, Sam. Have a great one. Thank you for having me.
You got it.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.